It's good. No, I'm not saying it's not good. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it costs a lot of money. Isn't that a joke now? $40 a bottle, it costs a lot of money. Versus 900 or whatever the hell Draxon, you know. $1,300. Jesus, people. $40 seems like a deal. It's like when you first got your first kid, you know, you could afford to get it home. You can't, you know, you're hoping your grand, you know, you don't care whether you're, I'm glad it's your kid, grandson. You know, I can't afford him. I said, I'm going to flip a coin. Let's get some cattle out here and you pick out the sick ones and we'll flip the coin. Heads, we trim. Tails, we don't. Well, they're going to die. If this guy finds one that's sick and you don't treat him, he's going to die. Oh, we argued about him going, no, you don't understand the system. God's been keeping these suckers alive a lot longer than we have. He ain't going to die. We're not all going to die. Oh, we are. Well, Peter's going to show up and burn us down. You tell me what the hell you can set on fire out there. You see anything out there that looks like it's going to burn? I mean, I'm in the desert southwest. I'm out there where you can run off the road, be gone for like an hour, and never hit a bad damn thing worth hitting. You won't even dent up that $30,000 pickup. It's amazing, right? Finally did it. They gave us 466 animals and said, you can do it. Only, and how many you got to have? We got to talk to Dr. Dargett. We calculated a number of animals, Lou Perino and I, and you get 60 animals that you treat and 60 that you don't treat and deal over. 120 is all you can get. And you get 466 to get them out of. Okay, we got it. Flip them. You come in, first one come and shoot, heads. Second one shoot, tails. I mean, the second one didn't, you know, we treated the whoever's head and then we reflipped the coin over two animals. When it was all over with, there was no difference between the death loss and whether you treated them or you didn't. None. No difference in the relapse rate, no difference in the days. There was no difference. The cowboys are going, God, we must not be able to find sick calf. You know, if there was a wall around there, I wasn't very welcome at the feed yard because they thought I was trying to pick them. You weigh them up at 191 days, and the calves that got sick and were treated outweighed them that didn't by 56 pounds. That's what treatment was worth. It wasn't the dead ones. It was 56 pounds across that scale. Yes. But the deal was, remember, I had 466. So it was 246, whatever it is, that didn't ever look sick. These kids are born, by the way, on center. We got records. Somebody's with them every 24 hours. Somebody looking at them. No record of being sick, ever been sick. So we got all these animals that never got sick. We weighed them up. They weighed less than the ones that got sick and we treated. So we write in Colin Drover's journal. We got an article for you. Production management tip. Get sick animals and treat them. Sickness is better than no sickness. Provided you treat it. Oh, that's a bullshit meter. Right? So we go to the packing house, pick up their lungs. Bring all the lungs back to the center. Boy, that's a boatload of lungs. You gotta start hauling back 400 lungs from the packing house. Oh, amazing. A little fellow by the name of Neil Woolen went through those one at a time. 72% of the animals that we saw sick had lesions in their lungs. 28%, they might have been out there going, you know, this is a... I didn't sleep very good last night. What? What are you taking me?
Hey, you look like hell.
Just because I didn't sleep last night? And you get, what's that in my butt? Well, it's a LA 200. Ooh, ow. Not my butt. I mean, well, 1991. No, whatever. Could have been. Anyway, right? Ate too much pizza last night. Ever makes you feel good in the morning, doesn't it? Looks a little droopy. 58% of the cattle that didn't have any history of ever being treated had lesions in their lungs. That's who they were. They were the ones that brightened up when you walked in the pen, I guess. When we sorted those numbers out by the ones that had lesions and that were treated and or not treated, lined up perfectly. If they get lesions in the lungs, get lesions. If they had lesions and you didn't treat them, bottom of the performance pile. If they never got sick and you didn't find any lesions, top of the performance pile by almost 0.8 pounds. Average daily gain over 200 days. Amazing. And we all see what it looks like. I mean, look at this. You know, these come off the same ranch. This is going to make a CABA, and this is a chronic quinine dying puke. There. And he hurts every time he takes a breath because his lungs are stuck to his chest. We know those mistakes are expensive. We've been there a long time. We've all been in that boat. And we know, I mean, this is some data from Dr. Marilyn Buman, who is now a technical service veterinarian for a Landco. She was a graduate student, did her PhD at our place. We've seen those kind of numbers. 20%. Put them with the lesions in the lungs. So we look at the lesions in the lungs. We see cattle that walk in the packing house that have active lesions in the lungs. These are lymph nodes that come off the top of their trachea. These are active lesions, chronic active and acute active. When the inspector sees things like that, there's a really good chance they may condemn the whole carcass. Lonnie Bryant and at Oklahoma State University, somebody help me, I can't think. The data from calves like this gained almost 1 pound a day less gain. Their lungs stick to their chest, sometimes not so bad, sometimes so bad that part of their lung, a big chunk of lung, stays in their chest cavity. Every time they take a breath, every day of their life, it hurts. And then we get the mycoplasma things. Don't ask me about that because all the vaccines suck. None of them work, in my opinion. It's a real disease. We just don't have a vaccine, you know. Yet. This is the airway. Look at that airway. It's closed up. There's no air moving in and out of it. You can see the little spots in here. This is a real mild case, actually, because some of them are a whole bunch worse than that. Lungs do heal. That's a normal healed lung, and that's a parasite migrating through the lung. Parasite. No big deal. No difference in performance, by the way, on either one of these bottom ones. But they heal normally, or they have something like that. There's no big deal. That happens to be an astrid, probably an astrid, which come from a raccoon eaten in the corn pile and leaving his present, biosecurity present, in the corn pile for my calf to eat. This biosecurity thing. This is lung lesions. This is Dr. Buman's data again. If they had no lesions, look at the difference in that gain. Isn't that awesome? Now the p-value's not, you know, I think it's okay. It's not 0.0001, but it's certainly statistically significant. We're not the only ones that found it. This is different universities that have looked at that same system when you're trying to connect the dots on average daily gain, but we also looked at performance, marbling. And day in and day out, across all the studies, you're looking at 1/3 of a pound average daily gain. If they get sick, if you make a mistake in the herd health program and they get sick, you're talking about 1/3 of a pound average daily gain. You put them on feed for 200 days, you do the math. That's what all these different university studies. But the real expensive deal may be right here. How many marbling points are there in the system? 1,000. You got to get 300 marbling points to get a select animal. You got to get 400 to be choice. 500 in the right color of hide, and you're a CABA. Or CAB. Sorry. Certified Angus B. You got to be 700 to get prime. What's the difference between your spread in choice and select today? Anybody? Anybody looked at the market in the last week? $11. let's say 10. Math's easy. $10 difference in choice and select. That's a half a grade. That's the difference between going from choice down to select. $10. That's half your Marvin points. Say it's a $5 bill. Times an 8-weight carcass, $40. Not only did you not get the gain, but you got a loss in carcass value. I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome. Now, how did it happen? I got to hustle. I'm going to have to whip and spur some. When a calf gets sick from pasteurilosis, Mannheim or otherwise, the bugs most likely came from himself, not from some other calf. Now, viral diseases are highly infectious and highly transmissions. What am I trying to say? Whatever the word is. Hey, you cough on each other and you get the bug, right? But bacterial infections, while highly infectious, are not highly contagious. That's the word I wanted. Highly contagious. And the data from Ames, Iowa, the National Diagnostic Lab, Briggs and Franks, at our place demonstrated that most of those bugs actually hang out in the retropharyngeal lymph node and feed the retropharyngeal tonsil. And they go down the throat on a daily basis, and when the calf coughs, he kicks up the bugs, swallows them, and it's no big deal. But you get IBR that knocks out holes in that system, so the IBR kills the cells, remember? Takes over the cells like we were talking earlier. One virus doesn't become two viruses and then four and then eight. One virus may become 100,000 or more. And so when they break out and this cell dies, then there's a whole bunch of viruses out there to expose other rooms. We have a vaccine. Like an intranasal vaccine. One of my, I love it. It doesn't give you long-term protection, but it gives you wonderful mucosal protection. So in high-stress calves, I usually shoot up that, like a TSV2 up their nose. Great. They also get a modified live. But it stops because it instantly provides some interferon to take up the cells, take up that spot in the cell so the virus won't interfere. Once those cilia are damaged and that bacteria can work its way down the lung and gets here, you got a sick calf. Now this is what the virus looks like in the trachea. That trachea has just been destroyed by the viral, all those little hair cells that protect the calves from those bacteria getting down the lung are gone. And once it gets down in the lung, you've got an acute infection. This calf, honestly, the cowboy's going, man, I got dead in the pen. He must have been sick yesterday. No. Not this calf. He wasn't sick. This is a 24-hour lesion. This calf yesterday morning, I'm not saying you might not have spotted him looking bad, but he had pneumonia. But it got in his lungs and it exploded like a hand grenade. He's dead in a doornail today. And it goes from here all the way. By the way, this yellow stuff on the outside is protein. You ever cut yourself and kind of after it quits bleeding and a few days later or after a while, it started kind of weeping with like a serum-y looking stuff? You ever do that? Yeah. That serum-y looking stuff is this stuff on the outside of the lung. That, when it dries and it connects and matures, as we say, becomes the thing that attaches the lung to the chest wall. It's this serum. And then you wind up with like lung abscesses. See those abscesses? This is last fall. We this calf missed. You couldn't treat that calf if you had 10 bottles of Draxxin. This calf, you know, throwing good money after bad to have treated a calf like this. Do something for this one. If you could have gotten that one, that would have been nice. He's a goner. I mean, this one's a goner. Don't waste your money. The real problem, that one of the things, and I'm standing out here on an island by myself, so I'll give you my biases, and a whole bunch of you, if you talk to any other smart people, they'll say he's full of it. Is I think, bottom of my heart, that a lot of those calves we treat in October, that spend all winter developing a nice long hair coat, you know, getting kind of toasty. Then comes the spring in late April and May when they start breathing really fast because those nice warm days show up and they got that nice warm hair coat. They start breathing too fast and one of those abscesses breaks out and they've got their immune system has spent all winter making sure this was walled off. captured out of their system. So when it breaks loose and gets back in their system, remember those two grafts where the second one went really high? This calf has a really big response to that pathogen that gets loose, and he kills himself of atypical interstitial pneumonia. That's not the only cause, but it's one of them. In the majority of these cases, just like this one, I can find previous old walled-off pneumonia. See that old walled-off pneumonia? We start looking at those AIPs, and you can't treat them. I mean, I've not been successfully able to treat many of those. Prevention's the key. You can't treat them. You've got to keep them from being there. And if they do get to you, treatment timing is everything. Absolutely everything. So when you're out here looking at this calf, well, you're on point, because you've got to know that those calves are looking back going, hey, keep, you know, look good. Don't let that, you know, he's got like a hot shot. We don't want to go back there again. Right? And remember the size of those needles? Oh, my God. They're talking back and forth. But we get them pulled out, and we shove this thing up there, right? That lies to you. Make me a pledge. I pledge. You guys aren't with this, are you? I pledge to not let a thermometer do my thinking. Got it. So we do that. We plug it in there, and if they got a high temperature, get the needle. Look at this data right here. This is 25 data points, August 8 a.m. in the morning at the U.S. Meal Research Center. These are 7 weight Mark 3 heifers, which is a composite heifer, have an average temperature of 105. Look at this guy, 110 and a half. How many of you have seen 110 and a half in a heifer? In wow. Look at that. Here's one that's 109. A whole bunch of them. I mean, all of them are kind of up here at 105 for the most part, right? Look at that. Not a one of them, not a one of these animals were sick. She was a little pissed off. We were introducing them to veterinary students. I'm going to guess that you, first time you've been introduced to a couple of vets, you maybe got the same kind of temperature yourself if you took it. We have that effect on people sometimes. That, and we cause diarrhea. So, anyway, I think this is the key. Who's sick? Is this guy sick? Yeah. My dad used to tell me, he said, cattle got three ends, boy. They got a front end, a back end, and a middle end. And if you ain't watching all three of them, you're going to miss something. If they're eating, there's a good chance they ain't feeling real bad. I mean, look at your own kids. I mean, I remember daughters. My daughters are gone now. But I remember I had one that she was always bubbly, da-da-da-da. She'd come downstairs, her hair pulled back behind her head. You could actually see her face. You feel them okay? Yeah, I'm all right. She'd come downstairs. She'd have so much stuff on her face, God wouldn't even recognize her. She'd have so much stuff poured on her, you'd have to open a window in the kitchen in the middle of winter just to get air in there. Have so much stuff sprayed on her head, you could run over her head with a F-150 and not crush her skull because the hairspray would keep it off. She was top of the world. Right? She ate good breakfast, unless she was thinking about, you know, them jeans being, you know, whatever. Right? Feeling good. Big key, I think. I think that's a big key. Find them early. So if cowboys, if your feed callers and your feed truck drivers aren't your best buddies, you've given up a big one. I mean, in agriculture, there are no most valuable players. The day a calf needs a drink of water, the person taking care of that water tank is the most important person in an animal's life. We all in this together. Everybody. Awesome. Wonderful. Now, we get this calf up and we start giving him shots. You ever notice that some of those old calves kind of go, ouch, right? Sometimes it's the needle, you know. I mean, like we get needles that don't bend. Now you think about it, if the doctor had you bent over a table and he gave you a shot and you went, God almighty, that hurt. He said, yeah, it's a pretty good sized needle. Why'd you use something so big? Well, it won't bend. I'll be still. Right? Or you give them something that you're going, why did I give that? Well, it doesn't hurt anything. Like B-complex. I mean, for years, every time something comes in, they got a shot of B-complex. Why? Because it makes them feel better. They eat better. Sure they do. You understand, how many of you ever used Albon SRs? Sulfa pills. Good. Give them up. Sulfas work by inhibiting bacteria manufacture their own folic acid B vitamin. And it works by inhibiting the synthesis, the bacterial synthesis of their own folic acid, so they die of a folic acid deficiency. Die. You give them a shot of B complex that has folic acid, you just spent $6 on a set of pills, and a 30 cent shot was the antidote for the pills you just gave them. How bright is that? Well, I did it for 20 years. Of course, I'm from Oklahoma, so whatever. No, I'm not picking on Oklahoma. Other than OU, pick on them all you want. Look at some of these injection sites. Look at that. We got it IV. No, we didn't. That's perivascular. You know, Banamine's one of mine. I'm not picking on Banamine. I mean, ibuprofen is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. I'm an old veterinarian. I live on these things. I live on them. Good stuff. But if you read the Bible, it says, give your Banamine IV. Doesn't say sub-Q, doesn't say IM, it's not on the label. Yeah, but that IV is a pain in the ass, so we just give it and inject it. You bet. If you had that in your neck, would you feel better? I don't think so. You had a study like that, and they didn't feel better. Didn't do a big study, but they didn't feel better. So we had a good product that we used improperly. By the way, if you use Banamine IV, the withdrawal time is 4 days. If you give it IM or sub-Q, it ain't 4 days anymore. And last year, the largest number of residues for any agent outside of penicillin, second only to penicillin, was in fact flumixin. You know, if you don't give it IV and extend that withdrawal time 3-4 times, like this one, Tecadur, IM. We don't want to give stuff like that IM. We don't want to give anything IM. Not just because it's a beef quality assurance issue that it, well, now there's product. If you're synchronizing heifers and you're using any prostaglandins, they need to be IM in the neck. Not IM in a rear end, IM in the neck, because they don't work properly unless you give them IM. That's what I'm told by the people that know something about reproduction. And my wife tells me I don't know anything about that, so I can't talk. But outside of that, all the rest of our shots ought to be sub-Q, regardless of where it is. This one, by the way, see, that's a stifle. This is a hawk. This is a stifle. Look how bad that infection is. This is from the top of their leg, around their stifle, all the way to their hawk. Well, we call Pfizer on that. When we shot that calf up with LA 200, it's LA 200's fault. Blue Printer and I are there doing a vaccination trial in Colorado. This old gal is middle of August. She had one of them Australian oil slickers, you know, come down to the top of her boots. I mean, the dog was trying to... God, it's hot. Right? She got this oil slicker on, got one of them wild rags around her head. She got them pink boots on up to her knit, you know, big old spurs. She's not on a horse, but she had the spurs. We're doctoring cattle. She reached in there, she pulls up the big old deal of LA 200, and she's talking to Lou Prino, and she's kind of lost. She turns around, hits her elbow, and that old syringe goes up in there, about three double back flip things, right there in the old ground. Old Lou Prino reaches in pocket, he comes out with needles. Brand new needle. She goes, that's all right. Out goes the little plug, puts that sucker in the crease of her coat, laps that dude out. Bam! Next morning, he was just better than a hammer. It's called phlegmonous cellulitis. What happened? Well, this talk's over. Antibiotics. I got a couple of minutes. I want to talk about antibiotics. When you dose an antibiotic, you need to keep that antibiotic up in an effective dose range. So, for instance, if you pick Baitrol, wonderful antibiotic. It's got two different labels on it. One for everyday usage and one that's like good for 3 days. Please pick the three-day dosage, because what you want to do is to get a level up high enough of that antibiotic, and this is in your handout. Okay? High enough that you're up in that blue day. The dose index well above the MIC that killed the bacteria. Well above that. Okay? That's the point of that. Now, this is a big old complicated looking chart, and I made sure you had it in your handout. And your handout does not have the word exceed, XNL, etc. You might want to open your handout up and write that one in. So you got those labeled. So you know which ones are which. Fair enough? So ceftiofur sodium is Naxel. Ceftiofur hydrochloride is XNL. Ceftiofur crystalline acid is exceed. Danofloxacin is A180. Enerofloxacin is Baitrol. Florfenicol is Nuflor. Specgenamycin is Adspec. The next two sulfas are Albons. Pilmycosin is Mycotil, and Telathromycin is Draxin. Label those so you know what they are. Now here's the point of that conversation. Let's select an antibiotic. Let's go back to that lung, those lungs. Remember those pictures of the lungs? If you're an early pull, I love ceftiofur, but for years I didn't. I mean, we had this awesome antibiotic, 1988. We'd use Naxel, and people go, man, that doesn't work. But the data says it works. The data says that if I give ceftiofur, Naxel, right here, I'm going to have a peak concentration maximum of 14 micrograms per mil. See that? And the MIC, 90% of the bacteria that they've ever isolated are sensitive to 0.03 micrograms per mil. It has a half-life. If you go through this math, you can do it for every product on here, so stay with me on the mathematics. It has a half-life of how long? T1/2, 10 hours. See that? So I give that shot. That's a maximum dose on the label. 1 microgram. You can read all this on the label. Most of that stuff's on the label. Veterinarians don't read the label, but producers usually do. Good stuff on them labels if you read them. In 10 hours after I give that shot, it goes from 14 to 7. At 20 hours, how much is it? 3.5, right? In 30 hours, it's how much? 1.8, something like that. Fair enough? Where was I? 30 hours. At 40 hours, 0.7, 0.9 rather, 0.9. At 50 hours, 0.45. At 60 hours, 0.2. At 70 hours, 0.1. 3 days after you give that first dose of Naxel, you're still above the MIC. I'm not trying to tell you to use it as a long-acting product, but the point is, that's how you use drugs. Well, why didn't it work? It didn't work. Not because of the concentration of drug, but because of those two little L's right there. All of the beta-lactams, that's a class of antibiotics that's explained in the very first part of those handouts that's in your deal, listed as beta-lactam. Beta-lactams, penicillin, ampicillin, amoxicillin, ceftiofur, beta-lactams, none of those penetrate tissues. None of them. If I've got an infection down inside a cell, I cannot get that drug down to where the bug is. If, on the other hand, I have an infection that's running around through the bloodstream, I never had a better drug. If I have a septicemic calf, it's perfect. at the Mediana Research Center, we have septicemic babies less than 30 months of age. Ceftiofur is the only drug we use at the Mediana Research Center on those sick babies. For two reasons. One, septicemia is what's going to kill them. And two, beta-lactams are the safest, least irritating, least complicated drugs we have that we know of. We use Vanamine once, IV. You don't want to use Vanamine a whole bunch of times because the half-life in a cow is 8.5 hours. This pill, when I take it, in me, the half-life is 1.5 hours. If I give that Vanamine to a horse, it's 1.5 hours. You give it to your calf, it's 8.3. And if you give it in multiple days and let that dose build up, you take out their kidneys. No, I've done it. The first time I figured that out, I'd kill 30 calves because I was overdosed. I was given Vanamine every day. Good product used by an idiot. You know, I'm trying to save it all. So understand that you got to get the drug to match the infection. Now, if I got to get something down in there where the cell is, I'm going to start looking at something like this, where I have a high volume of distribution where it gets in. Name me some bugs. You ever heard of Haemophilus somnus? Now called, what is it? Whatever. It's got a new name. Haemophilus is an obligate intracellular pathogen. It causes disease by penetrating from within the cell. Salmonella is the same way. Brucellosis is the same way. You can treat a calf with salmonella with all the NAC cell you want to treat them, and he won't fix them unless only the septicemic form of the infection. Same way with Haemophilus. Got it? Use that table. Timing is a big deal. Timing is a big deal. I'm going to say just a quick bit about when to quit. I think if you treating calves and they're not responding, you need to recheck your diagnosis. Remember those two steers, those two black ones? One of them was a CAB and the other one was a quinine dying puke? We've all seen them. We've all had them, right? Sure. The calf didn't have pneumonia. But at this point in this talk, you're all going, that calf's got pneumonia. Didn't respond to Draxxin. Draxxin sucks. Didn't fix that animal. He was dying of a different disease. He didn't have pneumonia. And so many times the animals that we treat don't respond because we have a misdiagnosis. Sometimes we just pull them a little late. Not much you can do about this guy. He's late. I thought that was really funny. Nobody laughs. I'm in trouble. What about this guy? He was never sick. He went through the hospital like four times. I'm talking to our guys. Guys, he's not sick. He looks like hell. Leave him alone. Look at all three ends. I know, he looks bad. No, he's just ugly. LA 200 don't fix ugly. I know, but he looks like hell. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror? You don't look so hot yourself. Really? Leave him alone. He gets better. His mother still loves him, ugly or not. So try to look past some of that stuff. We make those kind of mistakes. But there's a point in time we just need to let go. We've got antibiotics now, for instance, that are 2 weeks out there. In 48 hours, if I've got an animal that's getting away from me, I'm going to do something different. But if you pull something out of the bottle that's a home run, a Baytrol, a New Floor, a Draxxin, you dismissed it. There's no reason to spend 14 more antibiotics behind it. You just pull the biggest guns you got and you missed it. Got it? At that point, you just need to pray for them. I'll take some questions. Thank you. Actually, I may have run us out of time. Sorry.
Yeah, we're completely out of time. So
I'll be back in the back if you want to ask a question. How's that?
Let me thank our speakers again.